Phantom City Cinema, the cousin podcast to Press Rewind, where instead of discussing older films, we discuss more recent films as well as various film-related topics. We tackle all genres and often discuss brand new releases. Today we will be celebrating Women's History Month and International Women's Day with Over the Moon. Let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kat.
I'm Shell.
I'm Mint.
So, I'd like to ask y'all, what made you watch this movie?
You did. Yeah. You said, wow, that's a nice film. And I went, okay, I'll give it a try.
The cast, and I liked the trailer.
Okay, so I had saw the trailer on Twitter back when it was first coming out. And I remember I watched that trailer and I was like, I think I watched the whole movie. But I had wanted to see it, but I kept pushing it back for this podcast. And it's fine, because pushing it back means I didn't remember what I saw in the trailer. So it was like fresh eyes, fresh everything. So, Shell, will you hit us with the synopsis?
Okay, so on IMDb, we got... In this animated musical, a girl builds a rocket ship and blasts off, hoping to meet a mythical moon goddess. Yeah, okay. And the Netflix is fueled by memories of her mother. Resourceful Feifei builds a rocket to the moon on a mission to prove the existence of the legendary moon goddess.
That one feels more accurate.
That's better.
Mm-hmm. The other one's just like, no, this kooky girl. She knows to the moon.
Do you want me to keep going?
Mint, can you hit us with the rest of the information?
This animated film uniquely has a credited costume designer. Haute couture designer Guo Pei designed Chang'e's outfits. The gross was $860,000 worldwide. And the film was also earned a Golden Globe nomination for Best Picture.
Yes. So... the cast includes Kathy Ang, who plays Feifei, Robert G. Chu as Chin, Philippa Su as Chang'e, Ken Jeong as Gobi, John Cho as Baba, Feifei's father, Ruthie Ann Miles as Mama, Sandra Oh as Mrs. Zong, Baba's new fiance, Margaret Cho as Auntie Ling, Kimiko Glenn as Auntie Mei, and Conrad Rikamura as Holy. So let's hop into this discussion where I mostly just jotted down everything I felt while watching this movie. First of all, Chang'e's legend was like my favorite scene right off the bat. Right when it started, I was like, I'm in love with all of this. Everything that happened, the song was my favorite. It got stuck in my head the entire time. I like rewound it 5 times while watching it. So the song... I really like the animation for it. It reminded me of a painted scroll animation, and I'm a sucker for all of those. And it was just really nice, and the story made me emotional.
Side note.
It just started.
It started out hot. Shell and I were ambushed. We weren't warned that we were about to get up. So we both had to take a moment and be like, did they really just do that to me with this beautiful song?
I know, right?
But we prevailed. We prevailed.
I mean...
y'all got up.
We got up.
The tears. I nearly drowned in my tears watching this movie.
Yeah, honestly. So, with the song, I also really like the way that just visually you could see that Feifei thought of her parents as her version of Chang'e and Hoyi. Like, just the way she looked at them, she was like, y'all are gonna be together forever.
Yeah.
And the world said no.
You were mean about it, Feifei's... too.
Feifei's mom dying was, like, stressful, especially in the whole song montage.
Yes.
Because it's like she just kept singing and she's like, here's this bunny. I love you.
The bunny was a giveaway. You know that, right? The bunny was her replacement. Like,
absolutely. And that just wasn't nice to me or my feeling. But whatever, I digress.
We all had to get through it.
So early.
So early, man. So early. I definitely skipped around, but I guess I do want to touch on how Feifei's dad finding another lady. It's already been like 4 years, but finding someone else was the catalyst for her to go, so I'm going to the moon.
So here's my thing, because they don't really make it apparent that it was 4 years. They kind of mention it later on, but when it all happened, it's kind of like, oh, so she just passed and then they're moving on.
Great.
But all that aside, it's all her dad's fault, and I'll die on that hill. What's everything her is dad's his fault. You because know... he just should have handled the situation with Mrs. Zhang better.
Well,
rather than ambushing her with this woman.
He ambushed her. I think it did say 3 years later, but not just that. Just okay, bringing in. Okay, I'm gonna give him a little bit of the fault. I'm not giving him 100% of the fault. He brought her in, right? And then Chen, announcing that they're gonna be siblings soon. But it was the aunties, the one who was like, Chung-ga took both the pills. She was never going to be with Ho Yi. She disrupted her fantasy of this goddess.
Right, right.
And her father, come on, Baba, you agree with the story, right? And he was like,
He's like, y'all hear some
story? Y'all. I've never heard of this fantasy you're talking about.
I don't know anything about the moon. I feel like I would have liked the story a little bit better if it was just her trying to prove that Chung-ga was real, rather than it being a whole, well, my dad doesn't remember my mother anymore, so now I'm gonna go to the moon, even though that's crazy, and prove to him that she exists and that he shouldn't forget my mom. Because it just... I don't know. That's why I blame him, because it's like, it could have just been her standard never meet your idol story, and she just learned something about herself through the process. And it's cool that she learned how to deal with her grief, but I just wish it had been more her own agency rather than I'm doing this to avenge my mom kind of deal.
But I feel like that was the point, though, the fact that she couldn't move on, because no matter how you saw it, her aunts criticizing the Chang'a story meant that her aunts were criticizing what she saw as her dad's eternal love for her mom.
And criticizing her mother's story, you know.
Right. If Chang'a had gone to the moon and didn't really love Ho Yi and took both pills and flew away to never see him again, then what was that story that she made for her parents?
Like, right.
Was their love just a thing ready to snap in half? And even though the whole fly to the moon thing was, like, unrealistic, she's still, like, 12 or something and believes in the moon goddess as, like, a real person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it also just made sense for her to go, I will find this lady because she's real in my heart. She has to be real or else... What was everything I have left of my mother?
Right, so she...
But I mean, you come back and your dad is still about to marry this other lady.
Because she learned a lesson. Back
with a different perspective.
Right.
I guess.
The whole point of going to the moon was, it wasn't just her dad, it wasn't just Mrs. Zhang, it was her aunts. They were disputing her dream, her fantasy that her mother had built up for her. And right. And if you distort that fantasy, you distorting her memories of her mother.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of her going to the moon, besides keeping this woman away from her father, was to hold on to her memories.
Right.
Now, sadly, she didn't. She should have given Mrs. Zhang a chance, but I understood.
I really like the way the movie went, because a lot of these movies can try to make characters the main central conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that the conflict was more internal, and it was just generally about how you have to move on from certain things.
Because
how moving on from them doesn't mean you have to let go of them. You
right.
Don't let them control how you do life anymore.
I was so worried that they were going to make the new stepmother the evil person in her life. So I was happy mm-hmm. that she wasn't really trying to break their dynamic. She was just trying to add her own flair to it.
Right.
And John Cho shouldn't have forced that on her. I expected better of John Cho.
Well, Baba did it, not John Cho.
I don't know now. Why is John Cho always a widower?
And he was lonely. Men are always widowers in these type of family movies.
But he's been a widower so many times. John Cho, are you okay? He's the only Spike Spiegel in my heart. Anyway, we can continue.
Goodness. So when Feifei does get onto the moon, and I was a little confused by the mystical aspect, because I was like, how does she get on the moon? Is the moon really a thing we're gonna do? And it is. It definitely is. But I also really liked how Lunaria is definitely just Chang'e making a bunch of mooncake people to watch her throw concerts every
mm-hmm.
year. And she's living her quote-unquote best life to us, not really.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I really liked her concert. I liked her song. It was very much something I would do. I would make a bunch of mooncake people to hang out with me for eternity. What else am I going to be doing?
Mine are going to be brownie people, but I'd do it. You know.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that make them too edible? I feel like, mooncakes were offerings to her, right? So, like, she wouldn't right. necessarily eat them.
Well, those are offerings that I want.
Eat them.
Okay. You said no.
Just don't
still
let
brownies.
Them see what happens behind the scenes.
I liked her her concert. I liked her outfit changes. I like how she started off in her traditional, and then she was mm-hmm. in the little loop-de-loop outfit with the modern day, you know, high heels and everything. I liked everything. I liked the whole thing. I liked her style. I liked her flair. I was like, please don't be evil. That's all I kept on thinking. Don't ruin it by being evil.
She was iconic.
She sure
was giving. What was supposed to have been giving.
Yes.
Right.
She gave it to us, and we are not worthy.
I think my favorite part was when Feifei was like, I just want a picture with you to prove to my father. And she was like, does this look like a photo op?
Yes.
Like, yes. It does?
If you want it to be.
Then come here and take this picture.
I like how she's 3,000 years old and she knows all the modern day fashion and knows what a photo op is and let's do a selfie and all of that stuff. She has some kind of contact, right? She has some kind of contact.
I know what y'all do there.
She was like, the moon gels keep me young.
Yes.
I see y'all. See what all y'all doing. So then, you know, Feifei has to get the gift for Chang'e and it becomes a big old thing because Chang'e's still trying to get Ho-Yi back in very me hours mood. I'll be crying on this rock for old dude too.
Right. 3,000 years waiting for the right offering.
3,000 years.
Here's
a long time to be waiting.
Here's my confusion. Didn't she throw the mooncake in a drawer and was like, I don't want this shit? Why'd she take it with her?
Because she was going to be hungry on that long ride to the moon.
She was like, I don't want this shit, but it's all I got.
She was like, I can't make a snack.
She get caught trying to sneak some food out, but she already got this food. You know, let's go.
I don't got time to sit in the kitchen and make my own mooncake.
Right.
So funny. Like, let me open this drawer back up.
Nobody gotta know.
That's your thing. My thing was she didn't calculate Chin's weight, but she had helmets for Chin and the frog. She knew what she was doing. She knew. He knew. He knew what she was like. He was watching her build those magnetic trucks. He was like, she up to something.
Paying more attention than her damn dad.
Her father just fingerprinting all the orders. Yeah, I got this. And Chin was like, yeah, I need something too. And, you know, he was doing that off camera. We didn't see it. He ordered. He was like, what she been ordering? Oh, I need that.
Me a helmet. Hold on a second.
He knew exactly where to go.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that. But, and then when she meets Goby and he sings Wonderful, and I get sad and emotional again.
I got real sad. I got. So sad. I would have kicked him off the moon too. I would have been like, how dare you try to make me feel better.
I
want to wallow in self-pity, you little green dog not thing.
That, at first I thought the song was going to be dumb, but it turned out to be really sweet. And I don't even know how I saw this movie through all the misty tears that were welled up in my eyes the whole time. Poor thing, you know, did anybody else get kicked out of the palace for? I mean, jeez. At least he got kicked out and she didn't darken the world. So I guess that was, you know.
She did darken the world and kick him out. See, my thing about it really was like, you singing this song to make me feel better. You said some let go of him, girl. You gotta move on.
Yeah.
I still got today.
Great. But he said that 1,000. Remember, he's been exiled for 1,000 years.
Goby, I have time.
You know, somebody
gonna
come
all black
up.
Goby.
I like how she knew that it was finally here. She knew, all right, this is the one. I mean, of course, I mean, no one else, you know, showed up. So she, you know, she knows she at least had a little more time, and, you know, and finally. Here's my question. Was there a lot of people making trips to the moon? Or was she expecting to bring the offering to a shrine or something?
I feel like she was expecting that more so, just an offering from Earth.
Okay.
She would have yoinked it. But an old girl had the gift and she was like, whatever.
She was like, oh, one and done.
She sensed it. She's trying to come up here anyway.
No, yeah, I would have told Goby to get out too. I have 1,000 years, Goby. Don't try to make me give up yet.
I've waited two thousand years, and I can wait a little longer. Get out.
He'll don't get look here. At me or my moon children ever again.
Forget. I would have gotten the big sad, the big darkness. Goby, you making me sad. I know I need to quit, but I'm not ready yet. Nonsense.
But for our Infinity Train watchers, it gave me very don't be a worry baby energy, which is also why I cried. It's fine. It's okay.
That song was too wholesomely uplifting. You gotta let go and not be sad.
I was like, I don't think I'm grieving anything, but I don't need this right now. Go.
I don't need this right now.
So yeah, after that, Feifei gets the gift, which was the other half of the jade thing. I'm sorry.
Pendant,
amulet, necklace,
charm,
amulet, circle. Hello.
And it was baked into the mooncake that she didn't want. Because, haven't you heard? My family is descendants from Hoi.
It's said to be descendants from Hoi.
Red and flag. So I thought it was ding, 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 you know, but listen.
I thought it was just going to be the mooncake, period. And then she started going to town
Me
on it.
Too. I was like, because that's when he pulled it out, I was like, don't eat that mooncake because that's the gift. And she started eating it. I was like, don't you care? That's the gift. What are you doing?
The gift. She wanted the red date.
That's what are you doing? The red date.
Man, Mrs. Song said there was no dates in it that time.
Oh, you were right.
A piece of jewelry in it. Wait, you
didn't. Right. Why is there some jewelry in there?
Did you,
I know
she
you
knew.
Love the story.
She knew she was going to the moon. So I know what you, you know. I know what you got going on.
I still see you a better being parent suspicious
I want, than John Cho's right. father.
Right. I want you to, you, even if it wasn't, you know, I know you're going to the moon. You believe in this story. So here is something from me to help you continue your belief in this story.
What if it was just a cheap piece of jade?
Dang, that would suck.
What's that about? She was trying too hard. She was trying too hard.
She was trying too hard to give her a fake one.
No, maybe she, but she was trying too hard to be a part of her life to do something that would turn out to be cheap. Or, you know, she wanted to add her tradition to it. And she just it just so happened that she came from the right family to add to that tradition.
She was probably like, look, girl, I got this old thing that my family says was from Huyi that we think we're descended from. And she never came downstairs. And she was like,
well, fine.
She was like, I guess she wasn't that interested. It's all right. It's okay. Anyway, she gets a jade pendant or half circlet thing. She gives it to Changa. Changa goes, sings super high, relives her love story, and it makes me depressed.
She calls out to him. He comes. He sings back to her.
He sings back to her.
And that wasn't enough of Conrad singing. But he comes, he sings to her, and then he was like, yeah. Well, thanks for calling me. Gotta go.
It's so great to hear from you. I've got to go.
And it was like, where are you going?
He said, it's time for you to move on, babe. I got to go.
It's been 3,000 years.
It's been 3,000 years. I kicked out Gobi for you.
He said, yes, it's been 3,000 years.
Ho-Yi was like, I got to go. She's like, he's like, sorry.
The way he went, you have to move on. And she said, but how? And he was like, shrug.
He could at least sing another line with her before he dipped. He was like, our love is forever. Bye-bye.
Our love is forever, he was like, this girl.
He was like, this ain't Sleeping Beauty in the Woods. I got things to do.
Honestly.
Don't ever forget what we had.
They are all lucky. All she did was
turn the lights off
because she really could have just like they was talking about how she did a meteor shower one time. She could have just threw all kinds of chaos at Earth.
She
like,
could have done the howl gloop.
So
the howl gloop, I would have been laser beaming the entire galaxy.
We know she got the power since she used the beam to pull Feifei up, so she could have just caused all kinds of nightmares.
She was like, let me take my depressed nap, y'all.
Couldn't he have just like hung around for about a week and then said, you know, I can't stay.
He gave up so fast. The audacity to try to caress her face, right. Knowing he could not.
He was like, I am a ghost.
Couldn't he have said, you know, I can't stay long, but I'll, you know, let's enjoy this time that we have. He just was like.
He was like, you should have done this 3,000 years ago. Sorry.
My body ain't fresh no more.
I am good and dead.
I was like, what are you doing? I was like, you're not gonna even try. I mean, I knew it wasn't gonna
I am missing.
You're not gonna even try.
He's like, I'm missing a party in the afterlife. I gotta.
He said, straight up, you know that I cannot hug you the way you need me to. Goodbye. I have to go.
What are you doing?
If I stay, it'll only hurt you more. You're going to be like, why can't we hold hands by the river?
Because the woman...
There's no river and there's no hand to hold.
Because the woman that I married after you left is waiting for me.
Nah.
You can't have descendants if you didn't have a family.
Maybe he had a brother.
Maybe his brother's descendants.
Maybe he had a brother.
That would be his brother's descendants. Descendants come
related to him. Nobody know his brother. He not famous.
No. Maybe she like the auntie said. Maybe she did take both pills. And he was like, wait, so I ain't in on this? Fine.
Stop doing that. I told you. She looked way too distressed for that.
Yeah, she was.
Her little opening song, she looked distressed. She looked like she was like, wait.
And it was a bitter pill.
You don't let me have my tragic story.
I'm trying to lighten it up because it really was like, dude, where you going?
So straight tragic. He said goodbye.
He went, I'ma leave.
He said that. Bye.
Where are you?
Goodbye.
Can you stay for the whole song at least?
No.
He was like, I can't.
He was like, that is the whole song.
We're laughing to keep from crying, guys. Yes. Okay.
Yes, we are. Like, literally, I listened to Yours Forever way too many times. It made me sad every single time. I was like, he said bye.
I'm crying because Conrad Ricamore only got one song.
Exactly.
Did you peep John Cho singing? Y'all, I just love John Cho, okay? I have rights.
Oh, we're not stopping you.
I just need it to be known.
She went into a sad depression. She turned the lights out. She went into her sad hole.
I mean, she took her hair down and everything. Put on her hair robe. She like, it's over.
She was like, I'm slump. I'm going to sleep.
Okay. Oh, I
y'all
felt her.
Too, lights out.
I'm telling you, from the moment he dipped to the ending of the movie, it was just a cloud of tears.
Yo, I felt that sad slump though. I have gone into one of those and just been like, it's over, the day's over. I ain't talking to nobody else.
You know, like the breakup songs that Patti LaBelle has, and you be feeling it, and you're like, on my own. That's how she was in that room. Yes. And I felt that. I was like, oh, she done put on the Patti. She done.
Curled up everything. It's over.
She was like, no. And then Feifei went in there like, I got it. And she was like, no, I don't. I do not.
I don't
it
have
is it sad in here.
At all. Like, the audacity of her sadness, though, you know. Chang'e was like, what are you doing here? This is my sad room.
My sad room.
Sad.
Mine.
And then Feifei was like, nah, girl. And all her sad memories came up. Every last one of them.
The sad room said, I think I'm everyone. Sad room. Thanks.
Like, you want to be in here? You know, when all the little moon jellies were like, oh my god, only... The queen can go into, the goddess can go into the room of solitary sadness or whatever. We can't touch it. Feifei was like, I'm sad. I'm chosen.
She's a little too chosen.
I know that sadness, yo. Especially at her age, I probably hit her like I was.
She was like, oh.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I like the little note that her hair is so ragged and cut all that because she was like, I have to cut it. It's giving me bad memories.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice character trait.
I thought it was kind of cute. I thought Chang'e was being kind of mean.
She was a lot mean. I'm gonna steal her little haircut. It would be easy because I don't know what I'm doing.
But I liked how Chang'e was sitting up there in her little fetal position, then looked up and was like, someone else is in here. And was like, wait, you can't be here. So she had to cheer her up.
What are we going to do if we both can?
All right, let me make you feel better real quick.
End up feeling better.
But isn't that how it is when you're depressed? If somebody else is depressed too, you're like, ah, damn it. Let me help you out, I guess.
Yeah. But I did note as I was watching the movie that I really did like that Chang'e was the one who made Feifei like feel better and teach her how to move on. Because mm-hmm. Chang'e's a 3,000 plus old goddess and Feifei's like 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I know movies like these, where even though the protagonist is a child, they do sometimes make them go, I'll make you feel better, even though I'm a kid. Mm-hmm. And I like that the movie was like, this is a child.
I also like that it was the person or the character that she looked up to that made her feel better. Right. And the person who just had her heart broken forever.
Forever. Man said no.
So she, you know, that made her feel better. And then Feifei turned around and sang the lyrics right back at her and said, you feel better too. Because you're loved too. By all these figments of your imagination.
Stop. Go be that's real.
All she need is herself sometimes.
If you can't have just yourself, your little green not dog, and all your moon jellies, what can
you know what? She made them all sentient, and they all had their own identities. So, yeah.
Them chickens sucked, but the rest of them seemed fine.
But yeah, I also just really liked how, you know, Feifei had to, you know, Changa, you gotta move on. And Feifei was like, but how? And Changa had to dig deep within herself and go, I know how, let me tell you.
Right.
And I tell you, I'm telling myself too.
So that was a touching scene.
It was. When Changa said, if you give love, you'll never lose love. It only grows more and more. I almost cried. My body was like, tears? Are you ready to feel the emotion?
I felt the emotion.
It was like a waterworks. It was like, I gotta finish this movie. I'm getting hit too many times. I'm taking psychic damage.
You're like, this is not okay.
It was critical. I was like, no.
But I liked how she was telling it when she was saying, you know, receiving love, that she turned her around to face Chen. Somebody is there waiting, wanting to be a part of your life. Accept, you know, accept it. Stop playing around.
Now I'm even more sad because I was thinking about how she spent time with Chen, so of course she'd know.
Right.
Of course
she has right.
You know, she knew.
What a sweet little boy.
And then, of course, he threw himself in there. Like, who came to save her, you know? And everything.
He finally ran through that wall.
She did to help save herself, you know, or not save herself, but to get around on the moon was things she learned from Chen.
Right.
You know. I forgot what he said, but when he called Changa out for being a 3,000-year-old lady, you know. What did he say to her? She was being a jerk to him. It's like, you're just a 3,000-year-old lady.
He was like, I will not take this.
But he was, you know, am I still a dingbat?
Yes.
But you're my dingbat.
I love siblings.
All right.
Dang. And also, you know, like I said, I'm already taking psychic damage from all this stuff that's happening. You know, yours forever to this next song about moving on and Chen coming to say Feifei. And then they go back home and Feifei's picture burns, but it's fine because she knows that her love for her mother will be forever. And I was like, I need a moment. And she went back home and her dad was waiting outside for her the whole time, and I was like, I need several more moments.
Right, because that never happened.
Hold on. Wait.
Hold on.
I think I'm emotional. I need a moment. Wait.
That never happens in these type of movies. The parent never even notices they're gone.
He spent this whole movie trying to rub on Mrs. Zhang's booty.
No, he didn't even
notice that she was gone. And in the end, he was like, no, I am John Cho and I always come through. I'm here for you.
He cared about her. I'm
waiting outside for you. I don't think he didn't, but how did he not know what she was buying and that she was making a rocket? I had issues.
It's the restaurant. Not that he was rubbing up on her. It was because he still had a business to run. And he was still trying to make her happy at the same time. And she said, science project. Not that I was going to build my own monorail. You know.
Right, yeah. Look, man, I just really appreciate that he did, like, stand outside and was like, it's getting late, daughter, where you at?
Right.
Oh, most, well, for a lot of these movies, the kid comes home late at night and they just go to bed right. And dad's asleep or something.
Well, I can't even think of the name of the movie with the girl who traveled through time to get her father. I read the book when I was a kid and saw the little...
A Wrinkle in Time.
Like, her mother didn't even know that she was gone. I guess because she went through a wrinkle, I don't know, but... Yes. So they don't notice. People be going, kids be going to outer space and time traveling and everything, going through closets and doors and candles and parents don't even notice it.
Going parents through wardrobes, yes. Getting on trauma trains.
Yes, mm-hmm. and the parent didn't even know they was gone. But her dad was like, "Where my kid?
Hello, it is 10 p.m.
Where is she? Everything's closed."
He was sitting out like, at least where's my child?
At least he didn't scold her or, you know, he was just happy that she was back and okay.
Because he's John Cho.
Baba.
Give Baba his agency now.
His name was just Fab. Did he have agency to begin with?
Yes, he had enough for us to give him father rights.
Yes.
Whatever. I think it's John Cho was right. Okay.
And I think I'd like just really want to focus on the fact that family movies make me emotional. I really liked how, even though there was romance in this movie, it was not around Feifei. Feifei's was purely familial. And it was nice. The theme of grief racked through my whole body and made me sad.
I
was like, why do I keep watching stuff where people die?
I like that how this started off because she was mad. At the, you know, how the family for the festival reacted mm-hmm. to her still loving the story, but they were mm-hmm. you know, but it ended with them still being at the table, still discussing this story, and the grandpa with his words of wisdom that was going over everybody's head.
Yeah,
they were like, "Oh, that's just grandpa talking about crying." She always saying something about them damn crabs.
But they were all true. She learned a lesson.
Yeah.
She didn't even realize it. It wasn't until the third time he said something when she went, wait.
Yeah, hold on a second.
You been dropping hints this whole time?
Well, yeah. He's like, hell yeah.
Now give me that crab.
How they gonna spin the table away so he couldn't get his crab?
Because they were like, you talk about his own mess.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. How'd y'all think of this movie just for, like, Women's History Month in general?
Well, I thought it was a good representation for Women's History Month. You know, especially given that it was the main character, obviously it's a girl, but in her, you know, and this is about her love for her mother and... her trying to reach out to this goddess to help her stay connected to her love for her mother, but also by this future stepmother helping her get that connection as well without her even realizing it.
Yeah, I was gonna say they do emphasize Ms. Zhang more than they do Father John Cho. And I kind of appreciate that. While I was mad that he didn't know what was going on, that she kind of was like, no, I'm peeping.
Right.
You upset. I'm going to let you have your space, but I'm also going to give you an olive branch.
Right.
I thought it was really nice. And I still, like I said, really like that. No character was really... a villain,
right?
Even if Chang'a could look like a villain, you could tell that she was just that way because she was hurting inside. through a very relatable thing.
And that definitely was a good thing, because you go in to these type of movies, I guess because you grow up on a Cinderella and a Snow White and Sleeping Beauty, so you go in expecting the beautiful woman to want to harm the girl.
Right.
So it was a nice change of pace. You know, that even when she didn't get what she wanted, she wasn't there to hurt anyone.
Right.
And she, you know, and she was actually helpful in the end. And she was actually a fun character. Even, you know, I love the ping pong scene, you know. So she was a really fun, you know, I liked her as a character, you know. Like I said, since I grew up on those fairy tales and those Disney versions that went out of their way to make them extra scary, you know.
Right.
Name a Disney story, because I'm gonna take them away from where they really came from, the Grimm's fairy tales and the Pearl fairy tales, and I'm gonna put them in Disney's hands, how they went out of their way to make this beautiful young girl be a threat to this beautiful older woman.
Yeah,
it's true.
Even down to Ursula, you know, wanting to harm her just because she was mad at wanting to harm Ariel because her father. So this was refreshing. You know, you see all these powerful women always wanting to hurt a girl. And this one, she didn't. She just wanted to get back to her love. And when that didn't work out, she got sad, but she didn't use her sadness to hurt the girl. So that's a good, you know, that's good. That's nice. I like this nice positivity. This positive female role models for this International Women's Day.
Yes, and I was going to say y'all thoughts on this for International Women's Day, too?
I think it's a good choice. I think it's a strong woman-driven movie.
I think it's really nice, because it definitely took me a second to be like, oh, this is in China. Like, this is in China.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've gotten used to a lot of Asian American stories that I was like, you know, which one is this? But it's definitely just a Chinese story. About a Chinese girl hanging out with a Chinese legend.
Yeah.
And her bunny.
Who also found love.
Found love.
Lovely woman character that got picked, you know. So it was a really sweet story. I went out like, through all my tears, I just kept on waiting on the edge of my seat, waiting for something bad to happen.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was just more of a story about how to deal with grief rather than a story about how I will destroy you.
Alright, yeah. So what are y'all, like, final thoughts on the movie? Would y'all watch it again?
Yes. I'll watch it again. Yes. I really enjoyed it. I love the story. I definitely loved her opening Chang'e's opening concert song. I mean, I loved all the music, but I really loved that song. I really loved the animation and everything about it. The hair in this animation was fabulous. All of it.
That hair was thick.
Girl,
thick. It looked good.
And I love those clothes. And yes, I love this movie. I thought it was very good, and I would recommend it.
I said no before, but I'll make an amendment. I know there's going to come a time where I'm going to be grappling with grief hard, and I think I would revisit it then. But for now, no. I feel like it's fine that I watched it. I just don't think I'd feel compelled to be like, let's do Over the Moon. But I know there's going to be a time where I'm going to be like, I need this.
I feel that. Personally, after I finished the movie and I was like finishing up my notes and bopping to Ultraluminary again at the credits, I was sitting on my bed and I was like, I'd watch this movie 3 more times. Several times.
For the ones you'll watch again.
I was like, I would watch this movie again and again. I walked in on Shell watching it, and I was like, fresh eyes, let me watch this again.
I kept pausing it so she could see what she had to say, and she was like, no, keep going.
Could they play the movie? Again? Honestly, this movie took me by surprise, because I often have a hard time sticking with the movies on the first try. I've only seen this movie once. And I have a hard time. My brain does not like keeping information the first time. It goes for the general overview and goes goodbye. I remembered a whole good chunk of this movie. Remembered everything. Remembered a lot of the story. It was a good thing I took notes while watching it, though. And, yeah, I would watch it again on purpose. I would definitely watch it again on purpose for, like, grief matters, though, because I have a weakness to anything, it's that. But I think I'd also just watch it just to be watching it, you know, like on a rainy day or like if I'm sick or something. Let me turn on Over the Moon. Feel good movie that'll make me cry in a good way.
Definitely.
You're gonna say sad.
I was gonna say sad. I was gonna say sad, cry in a good way.
Yeah, watch it again. Pull out that soundtrack.
It's Spirited Away.
Yes.
Let me tell Spirited Away. Oh, wow. It's kind of the same, isn't it?
Yes. She did the thing.
She did the thing.
Wow. Full circle.
Full circle. Alrighty then, y'all. Shell, tell them where to find us.
Okay. You can listen and subscribe to Fandom City Podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Audible, and Amazon Music. fandomcity.simplecast.com and wherever you find your podcast. Check out our website, fandomcity.com. Check us out on Tumblr and Instagram, both at Fandom City Mayor. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Fandom City Mayor.
I'm at McFarson.
And I don't know what Twitter is.
As always, support your local library. And shouldn't have to tell you this, I'm keep on telling you. Black Lives Matter. And please stop the violence against Asians.
Please, please, please,
please.
The fact that we even have to ask is bad enough.
Right.
But please. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.